Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
An Erio's original.
I'm Leslie Arfin, and this is my show, Filling the Void, a show where I get to know my friends better by talking to them about the things that bring them pure joy, also known as their hobbies. Today I'm talking to Mike Luciano. He's a writer, director. He made that show Animals with Phil Matarese, who we also had on the show. You can still find that episode. But anyway, Mike rules. And his hobby is researching local hometown history. And this is a hobby that I in no way relate to. So you'll hear what happens. So Michael Luciano.
Yes. That,
does anybody ever call you Michael? It's like the most annoying question I could ever ask. Like,
no.
It's such a talk show host question.
Does anyone call you Michael? I mean,
I love that name.
Not even really my parents, to be honest.
What's your middle name?
Vincenzo.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I mm-hmm. love
I'm an Italian
Italians.
Freak.
I used to want to be Italian. I mean, I still do. But, like, you know, growing up in Long Island, mm-hmm. Mike's from Long Island, as am I. People are like, you Italian? 100%.
Yep.
100%. Like, yeah. If you're not, it's like so much Italian pride.
Yeah. It's funny because where I grew up actually was sort of removed from that. Not completely, but I was from this little beach town called Seacliff. That's like,
I know Seacliff.
You know it.
So tell everybody what your hobby is, because we're going to bring it back to LI.
Sure. So my hobby is archiving local history or just being interested in it.
We love that.
Yeah.
Me and Alex both were saying, like, it's so cute.
It's pretty cute. And, you know, it's something, as I was kind of saying, you know, like, it's not something I consider my hobby that I, you know, do all the time. But I've realized I've been interested in it for a long time. And I do get kind of passionate about it.
Yeah.
And, I did a project in Seacliff, the town where I'm from, that was steeped in that. So I'm coming off of kind of being very invested in researching and looking into local history of this small town where I'm from. So it's been very much on my mind.
Wait, how did you get into this archival biz?
I was thinking about this. Yeah. I think it's a lot from, weirdly, my grandparents, who were also lived in Seacliff, my dad's parents, they had a very cool life. My mm-hmm. grandfather was an opera singer, and so they like traveled all over the world. So their house was like literally constructed with all this memorabilia of their life and everything, and lots of photos and pictures of them throughout the years. So that was kind of like making narratives of people who I knew as older people. You see them young, you know, that kind of thing was always in my head, I suppose. But
did they grow up in Seacliff?
They did not. They grew up in Brooklyn.
And your grandpa was an opera singer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is so cool. What about your grandma?
She was a singer.
Italian opera singers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
How chic.
So, you know, it was like a cool way to look at my grandfather's and grandmother's like careers and in old photos and just that strange you know, elemental thing of seeing a person who's very close to you many years ago, and then looking at the world in the background of the pictures and how it's different in subtle ways and very overt ways. And I just feel like that was always kind of in my head.
Right. Like the people in the background, like sometimes are gesticulating in a way that like mm-hmm. looks familiar mm-hmm. and you're like, wait, they were just like us.
Yeah. There's also like, you know, if you look at an old documentary or something where there's a camera on the street now, you know, in with like a film camera, I love how people that are being captured, it's so different from now for obvious reasons. There's cameras everywhere and like kind of being on is a part of life right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like back then you can really gauge it decade by decade, how people are responding to a film camera, like a curiosity, and like they're still in there. They don't feel threatened that this is going to be developed and then broadcast everywhere, because it's right. obviously impossible. And like capturing something on film or in a photograph is like always got me going.
That is so, did you go to college? This is
did.
So college.
It is a little college.
No, in a great way. Like I forgot about the relationship of camera and subject mm-hmm. through time.
It's like, I think it's ontological. I think that was like one of the French guys wrote a thing. It was like ontological.
Whatever. Something. Where'd you go to college? Harvard?
No. I went to School of Visual Arts for 1 year mm-hmm. and I transferred, went to community college for a year, and then I graduated from Northeastern in Boston.
Wait, so you were interested in your grandparents and the way that people would react through the years with cameras mm-hmm. onto ecology.
I remember like at a certain point I had to do in fifth grade, we had to do this thing called an exit assessment, which is just insane thinking back on it. Whereas a fifth grader, you had to pick a place in town, which is like a mile wide, and choose it and like research the history of it and present it to the principal and like three other people in a small office. It was very strange. Mm-hmm. And so I chose the school, Seacliff School. And like, I remember going around with my grandfather measuring everything and then getting old like blueprints from the place, and then like talking to an old neighbor who's this old woman in her 80s who like went there when it was high school back in the day, not just elementary school, and like, and then made like a replica of the school. And that was like, I think probably my first realization of like just kind of surreal jump in time where you realize kids 70 years ago, we're having the same experience right here.
Wait, you did that in fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade.
I love that you were like interested enough in something in fifth grade and this particular thing to like do the legwork. Like I cut every corner I could. I phoned everything in. I just wasn't inspired, but I love that you were so inspired at such a young age.
Well, look, it was an assignment. I had to do
it. We had an assignment to make a meal. Everyone had to make something from one of the 50 states that represented the state. I bought a box of Entenmann's chocolate chip cookies, lied, said my mom made them.
Yeah.
And my state was New York.
Yeah. Well, that's just resourceful. And
or maybe it was like apple pie or something like that. But this girl came in with baked Alaska. I just phoned everything in. Like, so let me ask you, you do this archival stuff and we'll talk about cool things that you've found, but like, what do you do with this stuff? Who do you archive for? Just you?
What I've been doing this summer is making a little movie in Seacliff in my hometown. And basically stem from every time I've been home, I go visit my parents and everything and hang out. And every time I'm there, I'm just like so, you know, drawn to wanting to film it. It was such a great, fun project. I'm finishing editing now and will be done soon. But it also became kind of like half documentary on the town. And part of the plot of the thing is this woman is putting on an event at the beach for the 4th of July. And it's like a fundraiser to save the Seacliff Museum. It's the small little place that just has all of the old history of this town. It was so great to like come up with a narrative that could actively use this stuff and show it off to people who you know, even the people there, like nobody, not everybody knows there's like all this history to it. So it's fun to get to like make something funny and hopefully cool and like a fun thing to watch, but also gets to show off all of this history.
That is so nice and wholesome. Like, did you find any like weird shit out?
There's so much stuff of kids, which is really cool. There's like pictures of them doing like a little boxcar race. So you just see all these kids like getting ready to race in little cars that they made. There's another one of kids and it's like four or five kids just standing with pumpkins. And it's like they're, it's like 19, you know, 20 something, maybe earlier.
Wow.
And they're just like looking at the camera, like giggling and laughing. There's something so nice about seeing kids back then when times were tough, like laughing at just a very simple thing, holding pumpkins again, like on a street like I grew up on, you know?
So, so just, sweet.
That stuff's really cool to me.
Was your neighborhood like the Halloween neighborhood?
For sure. Yeah. There, I mean, there was like, growing up, Halloween was kind of this mix of like, you know, trick or treating. It's very quaint and everything. And then there was this like darkness of the Eggmobile, which was the older kids who would cruise around in a van and just nail kids with eggs.
Did you get nailed?
I didn't get nailed with an egg.
Did you throw eggs at other kids?
You know what? I didn't. I wasn't about that.
In Syosset, trick or treats for days. My neighborhood was off the chain.
Yeah.
The Woodlands, it was like Stranger Things.
Oh, cool.
And the older kids, we did eggs, shaving cream, toilet paper, rumors of Nair. Every year there were rumors of Nair. They're going to put Nair on your hair and your hair is going to fall out.
Wow.
It doesn't work like that. But they wouldn't get the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't get the kids because I did graduate to that program. Did you get to see Archival Halloween?
It wasn't Halloween. There was this cool like event and it was in this big park that's in the center of town. And like everyone's kind of wearing white and there's this huge like pole and then streamers coming down from it. And like that one, it just always stuck in my head because it's so, everyone's so exuberant and you're just like, what is going on here?
Did you find out any weird lore?
Just any like creepy, weird things like
that?
Yeah.
Or were you not looking for that? Were you looking for more funny things?
To be honest, it wasn't so much like, I was mainly looking for photographs. You know, that was that was like the start of it. And then I ended up finding film footage of the town, which is like a whole other thing. I don't know. There's this picture of like four little girls. And then there's like a woman. It's in front of this little shop that is like right in town. And there's like four little white girls. And there's this one little black girl. And there's like a tall woman and they're just like looking right at the camera and I just am drawn to like what is it, it's horrifying on one hand because I go I just am sure there's a darkness about the because it's from like the 40s maybe something like that but everyone looks happy so it's confusing, it's like a confusing image and that was one I just feel like I locked onto and wanted to know more about but it's only an I'm only left with an impression for now.
Even though I kind of think this is a boring question, how do you do your research library?
I'm already asleep. I'm snoozing. look, I think in-person stuff is always cool where you have the physicality of whatever you're going through in front of you. Like going through this little museum, the like drawers of the photos that they're organized in a certain way. That was like such a incredible afternoon of like, going through that stuff. It's so tangible and in front of you and just as kind of a next level thing. But what's cool about now, obviously, theinternet.com, there is plenty to find on there. So like I found photographs, every piece of property in New York City, all five boroughs were documented by a photographer and who stuck a little stand in the ground and put a little number on it in front of taking the picture. And they put them all up online to look through. So you literally just type
that
in an address
so fucking insane.
And you find the, you know, wherever you're looking at, it's like
so...
three or four. And then they did it again in like the 80s. They did maybe
Holy
in the 60s.
Shit.
It's
Wait, every
wild.
Piece of property in every borough?
I think it's every building in New York City. And I believe it's all five boroughs. It's searchable the same way that Google Maps is searchable.
Oh, so if I put in like 32 West 4th Street.
You'll very so
every
likely
single
see
building.
You'll see, and it'll give you maybe two or three photographs, one from the 30s, maybe earlier, one from the 40s, and then possibly one from like the 70s when they did it again, 70s or 80s. And like, so that's
like some grant shit. Rad. Like someone had to get a grant to do that. So
I think it's through like New York State's thing.
Right. Like they have to pay.
I think it's taxpayer money that did it probably. But it's so cool. Like,
it is. So I mean, so
all the taxpayers do it.
No, that's like major. Like yeah. That is the coolest thing because, you know, in ancient times, like when Gangs of New York was happening, mm-hmm. like I really want to see like legit pictures of 138 Ludlow Street where I used to live. I think that was the address.
Now, Les, I think Gangs of New York was before.
There is some documentation of like Bleecker Street.
Yeah.
And, like,
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Have you been doing any Hollywood or Los Angeles archival stuff?
Well, one of the coolest things I've found out here, there was a project, I think it's called 12 Sunsets, and it's through the Getty Museum thing. They put it on their website. There's this guy whose name is Ed Ruscha, something like that, mm-hmm. and he fashioned a van and put a camera on top of the van, Google Map style, and he went up Sunset, one direction, Sunset Boulevard, and went down Sunset in the other direction, and did this every 7 years from 1965 mm-hmm. to, I think it's 2007, something like that. And they created this website where you can travel along Sunset Boulevard and see photos of Sunset Boulevard and all of the locations along it for the entire thing every 7 years from 1965 to 2003, 2004, something like that.
Wow.
And it is wild because you truly see this incremental change. It's not all a straight shot to like everything improving, you know.
Right,
it's
right.
They're like weird little, of course not, like they're weird little pockets in the 80s and 70s where you go like, oh, that was just looks like a total dead zone right there, but then it became that, and well, that's horrible, now it's a sweet green or whatever, you know.
Right.
And so it's this interesting ride, but it's cool because it's just really great how the website did it.
It interests me why this interests you.
There's something about like capturing like the moment as it is, that's cool to me. And I don't know. I've like, I remember growing up, I remember like recording on like a VCR every year around my birthday, just getting like a minute of like Comedy Central or MTV
uh-huh.
and just filming a little bit to look at the way that the channel ID changed from year to year.
That is like such a boy thing. I mean, I say that because Paul, that's like such a Paul thing. Like Paul's yeah. like obsessed with time.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Are
yeah.
you obsessed with time?
Absolutely. How can you not be?
I am so not obsessed with time. I have no, it means nothing to me.
Yeah.
It means it's not even real.
Well, that's, I mean, you're right on one hand. It is a,
like, I don't even know what it means. It's so hard.
Yeah.
For me, I think that
yeah.
if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
It's like a control thing.
I think you're probably right. I just think like And I get the, like, intellectually understand the idea of, like, trying to hold on to something. So you're trying to, like, but to me, there's a difference between, like, over documenting yourself and the life around you.
Yeah.
And which obviously now is, like, its own thing, but and just being, like, interested in how things have been historically documented, mm-hmm. and have changed over time. Have you ever seen old, like, really old pictures of Syosset or something like that?
Yeah, totally. So, like, I was thinking about that, and I have seen really old pictures of Syosset, and I'm like, oh, even when I was growing up, you know, it looks very, very different now, mm-hmm. than it did when I was growing up. And then, like, my relationship with Syosset is one of, like, hatred and hilarity. And, like, I appreciate that it once was, like, an Indian reservation, mm-hmm. but that's a cool picture to see. Like, oh, yeah. That's where the condo I'm from, right. like, was where many Native Americans were slaughtered. Yeah, I mean,
totally.
I guess that's,
as
like,
is most of Long Island is.
It's kind of sick, Native. You know? It's kind of cool. No, it's kind of fucked up.
I mean, it's all of that. It's mostly fucked up, but, you know, it.
But you seem to have a very nice relationship with Seacliff.
I do. I also, you know, I had a great childhood, you know.
Right.
And it was like,
you had a great childhood, and I that's awesome. And yeah. I did too. I had a complicated childhood, yeah. though. You know, like, I never felt like I fit in.
Yeah.
And I hated Long Island. I couldn't wait to get out.
Yeah.
And so, like, what I know of Long Island are, like, the places that probably still do look the same because they weren't establishments. Yeah. They were like my Long Island is like, they're like parking lots and like,
yeah.
alleys with like playgrounds that nobody uses.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think that's a lot of Long Island.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. And
kind of
and
seedy and depressing, but Seacliff is actually a very beautiful town. Everyone I know from Seacliff is so nice. I know you. I know Ben Van Dyke. You know him?
Mm-mm.
I think he played drums in some band.
Oh, yeah.
I had a huge crush on him. Yeah. We saw Pulp Fiction together and Amazing. Held hands. And Ariel, my friend Ariel Telford, who is so nice, and lives in India now, is a Hare Krishna.
Oh, wow. Yep. Well, it's kind of a little hippie town. It was like a former hippie town. So it has this kind of lineage of, like, arts focus. It has, like, a push for the arts. I mean, it got to a point where, like, because I started making movies and stuff growing up when I was just young and having my parents' video camera, like a lot of people do. But then with school, it became a thing where I would just ask if we had, like, a project coming up or a paper. I just would got in the habit of going, can I make a movie about it?
It's insane to me.
And they
Who
would
does that?
Say yes, like, every time.
Of course they would say, I mean, look, they would never say no to anybody yeah. doing that. No one would ask that. Like, I don't know anybody who would think to ask, can I do extra work? Because school sucked. That's why in LA.
But that's why it was fun, is because right. I didn't have to write a paper. I could make a movie with my friends.
Oh,
and like,
oh, you're saying to get out of
around.
Doing a paper, can
yeah.
I make a movie instead
oh,
of a
no,
paper?
Oh, no, it's not extra. I was not doing
oh,
extra
okay,
credit.
Okay. Maybe some teachers let you do that. But I mean, like, in LA, now, is your relationship with LA the same? Like, do you love LA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a yeah with a question mark at the end. I feel like I've never, it's always been hard for me to go, here, I'm here forever. This is it. I found my place. And yet every time I come back to it after being away from it, I'm like, this is fucking heaven out here. Mm-hmm. So I do love it. And I think I love it that there's so much to explore. There's certainly so much to learn about it constantly.
And so when you archive if you're archiving LA, it's going to be like, I don't know, what would it be like if you were to make like your... I don't know. Maybe you'd do not a documentary, but a narrative. And that's cool.
Maybe,
there's like amazing narratives about LA.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like I wouldn't do. I've always felt like filming out here, I'm always a little uninspired by it, only because it's so a thing. It's so LA. Everything you shoot out here. There's a really cool Instagram. One of my favorite LA kind of archival things. It's called, I think it's called Map Points.
Okay.
And then there's another one called, I think it's, I might be messing this up, Veterans and Rukas, something like that. And their accounts of the mid to late 90s Latino rave culture.
Oh my God. In amazing. LA,
and it fucking rules. It's the coolest thing ever.
That sounds so awesome.
It's awesome because it's so of the time. It's so of the era.
Official Map Points project. Yeah.
It's like,
oh, I'm definitely following this. So I love this.
You get a dash of like, you know, people wearing like huge jeans and stuff, you know, like it's sort of like fun just for the fashion of it, but it's so also like the, I mean, it sounds nerdy, but like the grain of like the photographs, like it adds something because it feels really authentic to the time. I love seeing photos of an event like that, that feels so joyous and it happened. It feels so funny.
Oh my God.
Say,
I love that, like, you describe raves as being joyous.
Well,
that's so,
well,
do you ever go to a rave?
Not really, to be honest.
Okay.
Well, well, but in those pictures, the pictures are joyous. Everyone's smiling in them and is like, seems so, so happy. Maybe it's an altered happiness.
Yeah. But like, I mean, there's a lot of joy that came in being totally fucking fucked up out of your mind.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah.
And like not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
There's so much joy in that.
Yeah.
So, but there's also, it's not pure.
Yeah.
Although I think I definitely have been to a rave called Pure Joy.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, is there like a hobby that you wish you could be into, but you're just not?
Sure. Like woodworking.
Right.
Woodworking seems so satisfying because you turn your mind off in a way. It's meditative. You're making something. So it's like kind of a craft, arts and crafts thing. I just can't imagine doing it.
Right.
It also seems expensive. It's an expensive hobby. You got to have the space for it. I see Dan Harmon, you know, he's making,
oh my God, Dan has a whole house.
He's got a whole house.
He has a mansion. That's his
workshop.
Bench.
And God bless him. Like he's
so fucking deserved. Cool.
Like get, like that is really fun to see. And look, maybe at some point in my life, I'll do something like that. But I,
woodworking sounds fun to me too, but it also sounds expensive and like kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But like something with your hands or something physical with your body that isn't, that you take your brain out of it.
Mm-hmm.
When do you turn your brain off?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's very hard for me to do. It's also very hard for me to just have like the idea of a hobby is hard for me because I find it hard not to, like, whatever I'm doing, have some use for it or some kind of like creative thing that subconsciously I'm like, well, this will inspire this in some way or maybe give me something for that. And I hate that because you don't always want that. Like sometimes reading should just be for reading, you know, or, I don't know. I feel like the times I do that, this is so lame, but I've started doing yoga. I started doing it to like stretch my back out.
I don't
out.
Think that's lame.
And then it just has become a joyous little moment in my day.
I love that.
Because it is like, it's that. You turn your brain off and you're just feeling your body. So maybe that's my other little hobby as of right now.
I think that's so great. What's your yoga outfit like?
You know, it's just some comfy shorts, breathable shirt, ideally.
Mm-hmm.
And
you wear
just a
your
good
hair
mindset.
In a pony.
I've started to. My partner started to make that happen.
Huh? How do you feel about that?
It was an uncomfortable transition, but I do see. I wear hats because my hair is unruly.
Yeah, but that, I love unruly hair.
It's nice to like keep it out of my face. So that's another hobby is starting to
just hair care.
Hair care. Yeah.
What about a haircut?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. No pressure. I think your hair is gorgeous.
Well, I went.
You've got lovely locks.
Just for the listener, I have sort of like maybe shoulder length hair right now. I was a short haired man my entire life. And then, 2020 happened and it's all thrown for a loop. But I save bits of my hair, you know, to archive kind of where I'm at. And
like, do you want to be an archivist?
It's tricky because I love looking at things and I love like collecting stuff. And film things and everything, but I also am trying to not have stuff. I went through my grandparents, back to them, their house where they just like collected so much stuff from this incredible life. Growing up with that was so amazing to see everything. And then they both passed away and we had to go through their entire house. And it was just a lesson. I mean, in a way, it was a really profound experience to go through not only all the photos and everything, but also like, you know, the nooks and crannies of a bedside table, like notes my grandmother had, and like little things she clipped out. That's like, why was she interested in that, for, you know, things she wrote here? Like, so that is a whole other level of things, but it also is just a good lesson. Like, you can like try to collect things and to remember as much as you can, but like, it's all, we're going to die. And then it gets passed on to who? Our kids? What's the point? So,
well, maybe they made them happy. Like your things. Like I love my, yeah. I mean, I throw shit that's away a lot, but
it's what makes you happy and what do you like having around and what,
yeah,
is it,
I have
what does
so
it give
many
you?
Little pieces of knickknackery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they make me happy.
Yeah.
But if something breaks or if I lost it or sometimes people come over and they love this thing and I'm like, oh, take it, you know, because it is just a thing.
Yeah.
But
if
you opened up my bedside drawer right now, you would throw up inside of it.
Yeah.
But we're going to wrap up and thank you for coming on this podcast and like having a really nice, sweet, educational hobby.
Well, look.
I mean, it's so funny because like you're, the other stuff you do is like your comedy stuff, like the stuff you do in real life is so funny and it's so silly.
I think I've been on a long journey of trying to kind of like thread what I love about comedy and the immediacy of comedy and sort of the like edge, I guess, of like fun comedy, trying to find the balance between that and some of this stuff, which is, I think it is probably, there's nostalgic elements to it, but I think documenting like time, specific time, but also like,
God, you have to talk to Paul.
I can't wait.
Fucking obsessed with this shit.
Oh, great.
And this is what Paul, and we'll end it here, but he's like, in this movie, Keanu Reeves is like referencing Die Hard. So does that mean that like he knows that Bruce Willis is an actor? Like, it's so fucking dumb. I'm sure I've talked about it, but like he says all the time, Leslie, the year this movie came out was the same year I got 3 teeth pulled and the same day that my mom yelled at me. I'm like, who cares? He thinks it's not as boring as that, but like,
but
I don't remember.
It's tied up into the...
Everything is time.
Yeah.
On that note, I love you, Paul. I don't think he'll listen to this.
Love you, Paul. Love you so much.
We love you so much. Love you, mean it. Okay, thanks. I love you too, Mike. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You can say it. You can say I love you.
just
say it.
I love you.
Thank you.
If you liked our show, please subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend. Filling the Void is a production of the Irios Network. Episodes are produced, engineered, and edited by Alex Paul. Original song by Michael Cassidy.
Powered by Acast.
Irios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.